Oh, hi there, everyone, and happy new year. Well, not quite, but happy new year. Hope you had a great Christmas. I'm Nick Salomon. You're listening to Implosion on KDRT 95.7 FM from Davis, California, into your ears. And if you want to get in touch with KDRT, do so at kdrt.org or info@kdrt.org if you want to email us. And that's what it's all about. You know, we're doing it for you lot. It's volunteer powered radio. If you'd like to join us behind the mic or behind the scenes, just go to the kdrt.org page and click the support tab. So there you go, that's what you do. So I hope you had a great Christmas. As I just said, I tend to repeat myself as I get older because I forget that I've said things. Now I don't. Now I'm making out that I'm more senile than I really am. What have we got for you this week? We've had a lovely Christmas, I've got to say, very nice, with our friends from Holland. And yeah, we've got my family arriving back from America, I think, later today. Ooh. Oh, how exciting. I can barely wait. No, hardly wait. Barely wait. Didn't sound so good, did it? But anyhow, we're going to start today with, as usual, an instrumental. And it's by a band called Les Frangins. And they... Yeah, I know. They were from Forest in Belgium. They were formed in 1961 and kept going till the late 1970s. And they were a band behind a guy called Georges Breval, who did a lot of stuff in the 1960s and 1970s. So here's a single that they did, one of the last singles, I guess. It came out on the Omega label from Belgium in 1977, and it's called Stalactite. And I didn't know, when I listened to it, I thought, well, it kind of sounds 60s, but not quite. It sounds a bit more modern than that. And I couldn't really figure out when it came from, but when I kind of looked it up and read it, I thought, oh, yeah, that kind of figures. So this, as I said, is Les Frangins and Stalactite.
Standing on the front porch, of the old frame house in town. In another day or two, it all starts coming down. I wonder what they'll do about the oak tree with the swing. I never built the tree house, but I had plans for so many things I am trying not to think of while I can. Waiting for the moving van to come. Front door has that noisy hinge I never did repair. You used to hear it late at night and meet me on the stair. Well, I work the daylight now, I'm always home by six. Now there's lots of time and nothing left to except the things I am trying not to think of while I can. Waiting for the moving van to come. It's almost summer here, your favorite time of year. Hey, didn't we love to hear the children play? We had some happy times. 10 years is so much time. You'd think we both could find a way. No, I won't get maudlin. It's just being here alone. Took some getting used to, but I like it on my own. I just wish they'd get here soon. I have so much work to do. Plans to make and a whole new life to think about. But you, I am trying not to think of while I can. Waiting for the moving van to come.
Oh, what a brilliant song. That is David Ackles doing Waiting for the Moving Van off his third album, American Gothic, which came out on Elektra Records in 1972. And I was a big Ackles fan, still am, you know. He only did four albums in his in his life, I suppose. The first one was just called David Ackles. Second one was Subway to the Country. Third one was American Gothic, and the fourth one, which came out on Columbia Records, was called Five and Dime, and they're all great. My favourite, I guess, it's a hard one to choose because they've all got great moments on it. I know that listening to his track, the Mainline Saloon, on the second album when I was a kid, really opened my eyes. I was about 16 and I was an aspiring guitarist, singer, songwriter, and when I heard the lyrics to things like Mainline Saloon and The Candyman and Inmates of the Institution, it kind of really opened my eyes to the possibility of how you could write songs. Like, you know, you could be pretty brutal in what you wrote and stuff that makes you go kind of like, oh blimey, wow, that's, but still sound really poetic and beautiful. And it just made me go, oh God, you don't have to write about trucking down the highway or baby, I want you and all that stuff. You can take it way in other directions and still make it sound really poetic, and it really, you know, I owe that. I mean, there's lots of people who did it, you know, I mean, Joni Mitchell and other great lyricists like that, you know, who did it. But it was David Ackles who I kind of really just found the one. He was the one who made me go, oh, I realise. It was like the light bulb moment. And I know that, you know, some other really great songwriter, I'm not counting myself as a great songwriter, but I'm counting other people who were recognised as great songwriters, such as Elvis Costello and, you know, I know Elton John, people like that, all were huge fans of David Ackles. And in fact, not that long ago, Elton John appeared on Elvis Costello's TV show in the States, and they did a David Ackles song together. They did Down River. And, yeah, just beautiful. He's, yeah, massive influence on what I did. Not that I sound remotely like him. He came from Rock Island in Illinois, moved to South California when he was young and lived there for the rest of his life. But he got hit by a drunk driver in 1981 and seriously injured, to the extent that he was in a wheelchair for a while, did recover, you know, his walking abilities, and but never made another record, and died in 1999, I believe. So, you know, it was really 1999 he died of lung cancer. And the really, back in about 96, when I was running a magazine called the Ptolemaic Telescope with my friend Phil, we got contacted by a kind of intermediary who'd said, we're thinking of putting out a new David Ackles album. He's thinking of doing a new one. Would you like to put it out? I had a label called Woronzo then. He said, and would you like to put it out on your label? And I kind of nearly fell off my seat and said, yeah, of course I would. But alas, it never happened. And then he died, and that particular strand of opportunity was kind of disappeared with him. But what a brilliant and utterly fantastic songwriter he was. Right, before that we had Les Frangins doing Stalactite, came from Belgium on Amiga Records, or Omega Records, in 1977. But 9 years earlier, over in LA, there was a band making their way, and it was The Seeds. And they'd started recording, and the only one alive now is Jan Savage, but I'm going to play their big smasheroo hit, which is Pushing Too Hard. In Britain it came out on Vocalion Records, in America it came out on Crescendo, and that was in 1966. And I did once have a phone call from Sky Saxon. I was at home, and this guy I knew in America phoned me up. This would be, long time ago, you know, maybe 30 years ago, and I was sitting at home watching football in the evening on television, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and this guy said, hey Nick, how's it going? You know, and I can't remember what his name was now. Yeah, it's Dave here. I've got a guy who wants to say hello. And I kind of went, all right, yeah, okay, thanks. And this guy said, I said, hi, I'm Sky Saxon. And I went, is this a joke? You know, is this Sky Saxon's phoning me up? And then this kind of Dave came back, yeah, it's Sky. He wants to talk to you. So I said, oh, all right then. And this guy said, hey, Nick, love your music. And I thought, I bet he's never heard of me, really. But he said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about the four great religions. And I said, oh, okay. My wife's looking at me going, who is it? I'm like, it's Sky Saxon. And he says, I want to tell you about the four great religions, Nick. There's Buddhism, there's Judaism, there's Christianity, and there's Buddhism. So I went, oh, right. He said, I'll hand you back to Dave. I handed me back to Dave, and he said, yeah, cool, eh? And I went, yeah, great. And he said, bye. And I said, well, there you go. That was weird. Sky Saxon phoned me up to tell me about the four great religions, and two of them were the same. So that was an interesting talk. But, you know, at least I've spoken to the great man. So this is Pushing Too Hard by The Seeds.
You're pushing too hard for pushing on me. You're pushing too hard on what you want me to be. You're pushing too hard about the things you say. You're pushing too hard every night and day. You're pushing too hard on me. pushing too hard on me. We'll be right back.
Whoa, there you go. That's the Alan Bowne doing a track called Penny for Your Thoughts. And that comes from their album Outward Bowne. Get it? Because Alan Bowne, B-O-W-N. Very good. Alan Bowne actually was a trumpeter who'd started off pretty early in rock and roll. He was actually in the RAF, the Royal Air Force, for a couple of years. And then when he came out of it, he joined the John Barry Seven. And the John Barry Seven were a kind of instrumental band who did things like the Bond theme in the early 60s. And after a while, being in the John Barry Seven, he decided to form his own band, and it was called the Alan Bowne Set. And they became a huge draw in the kind of discos and stuff of London in the mid-60s, you know, doing kind of soul covers and just a stomping kind of mod band with a singer called Jess Roden, who was really good. And when it came a bit, you know, to the next era, you know, where psychedelia and stuff was taken over, they kind of changed tack and dropped the name the Alan Bowne Set and just became the Alan Bowne. Did an album, which that's from, called Outward Bowne, which is a mixture of kind of heavy rock, psych, pop, very poppy stuff. You know, kind of great. They do a really good version of My Girl in the Month of May on it, which I always loved, by Dion. And anyhow, they were really good, you know, and Alan Bowne kind of continued into the 70s with them, and then the band broke up. Jess Roden left to join a band called Bronco, and the last lead singer the Alan Bowne had was Robert Palmer before he joined Vinegar Joe. So, you know, they had a pretty good history, and Alan Bowne then went on and joined a kind of prog band called Jonesy, who I remember seeing at the Marquee, and they were really good. But yeah, that's it. I'm not sure what happened to him after that. I think he kind of went into the music industry. But anyhow, that Outward Bowne came out in 1968 on the Music Factory label, and apparently they were going to do a second album for Music Factory, but the label went out of business, and they moved to Ireland and became a differently, you know, a bit more proggy, I suppose. But yeah, really good. Before that, we had the Seeds, obviously, doing Pushing Too Hard, a classic kind of hit single, you know. And yeah, great. Wish things like that got into the charts these days. I do. Oh, that's me being old again, isn't it? Wish things were getting you. The music's not as good. Anyhow, I'll stop doing that. What have we got for you now? Oh, well, we're going up to Scotland now. And there was a band in Glasgow called Dean Ford and the Gaylords. And Dean Ford and the Gaylords were pretty popular in Scotland, you know, had a big following in Glasgow, Edinburgh, all around, and loads of singles, well, not loads, about five singles they had out, and they're really good, you know. And in the 60s, there are a number of these bands who got to a point, you know, 66, 67, where they thought, well, Dean Ford and the Gaylords is a bit old-fashioned. So they changed their name to The Marmalade. And The Marmalade were a very successful band. They kind of had hit singles, went right on into the kind of mid-70s, and were very popular. Their first album was really good. It had some great stuff on it, and it doesn't cost a lot these days, but they did this single early on that I remember. I got it because I read an interview with Jimi Hendrix in Melody Maker saying that he really liked it. So I thought, well, if Hendrix likes it, I'll like it. So I went out and bought this when I was about, what would I be, 1967? I would have been 14. So I went out and bought this when I was 14. So this is The Marmalade and one of their early singles, which came out on CBS in 1967, and it's called I See the Rain, and it's great.
Congregate
Oh, very nice. That's Gene Parsons doing Long Way Back from his album Kindling, which came out on Warner Brothers in 1974. And Gene Parsons, yeah, he's kind of had an interesting life. He was born in Morongo Valley, California. Not sure whereabouts in California that is. Might be out by the Mojave Desert, maybe? I'm not sure. But anyhow, he's best known, I guess, for being in the Byrds for a while. But he was also in the Burrito Brothers and various other bands. In fact, he played drums on Memo from Turner, the Mick Jagger single from the film Performance. And he was, you know, always around the scene working with various musicians and even making an album with his wife, who's called, I think she's called Meridian Green. And he called, much to my amusement, I don't know whether he knew, but he called his album with a Parsons Green. And Parsons Green is a place in London near Chelsea. So there's actually a subway station called Parsons Green. So that would be nice. You should have a photograph of them standing outside Parsons Green tube station. That would be really good. Anyhow, I remember seeing them. I remember going to the venue Dingwalls, which is in Camden Town in London, to see Roger McGuinn playing. And this would be about 30 years ago. McGuinn, it'd be the early 90s, I guess. And McGuinn was doing a show, and I thought, oh, I've got to go and see him. And I went with my wife Jan and my mate Martin, who was a drummer back then, and a couple of his friends, the two Jackies. And it was great. We saw them, and they were really good. And he had Gene Parsons on drums, Skip Battin on bass, McGuinn on guitar and vocals, and A.N. other guitarist. But it was basically the untitled album lineup, obviously not Clarence White because he died. So they, you know, they were really good. It's basically three quarters of the band, you know, the Byrds. And it was great. And they were kind of, I've got to say, really, really good. And they were kind of arm in arm at the end, you know, after doing encores, you know, we love you, London. Oh, it's great, it's great. And at Dingwalls, the exit where you go out is next to the exit for all the bands, so that goes to the kind of backstage area, and there's an exit, and it's almost next to the exit for the public, you know. And so as we're walking out, there's a kind of car waiting to take the band, we assumed, back to their hotel or whatever, so it's waiting. And as we're walking out, the stage doors open and they come out, and Skip Battin and Roger McGuinn are having a fight. So that was good. And Gene Parsons is in the middle holding them apart, going, he's not worth it, he's not worth it. And Battin was swinging at McGuinn, going, you asshole, I'm going to get you, McGuinn. Yes, you know, Roger McGuinn was going, yeah, you know, I'm going to get you, shut up. And it was all, you know, fisticuffs. And I mean, literally 2 minutes earlier, they'd been arm in arm going, we love you, London. And then you kind of walk out, the pair of them having a fight. And in the end, McGuinn got into the vehicle and drove off and left the rest of the band behind. And everyone was kind of looking at it going, well, I didn't expect that. So that was quite an amusing moment, yeah. I remember one of the two Jackies, because Martin, my drummer back then, had these two girls who were good mates of his, both called Jackie, and one of them passed out. She was outside, just went bonk onto the floor. That was kind of interesting evening, that was. So, you know, not only did we see a great band, but we saw a fight between two of them, and then our companion ended up on the floor. So, yeah, great night. What do we have before that? I'm just looking at my list. Oh, yeah, of course, it was the Marmalade doing I See the Rain, a fantastic single. They did do some really good stuff, but they also did some pretty not very good stuff. But they were a very capable band, you know. They're all Scottish, apart from the drummer, who was in a London band called The Loose Ends. And he kind of ended up moving up to Scotland to join the Marmalade. But then, of course, they all congregated in London anyhow, so it wouldn't have been too far from him. So what have we got for you now? Ah, right, this is a band from... no, it's not. It's... what is it? Oh, dear, I've forgotten which way I'm going here. hang on, I'm looking at what I've got. Yeah, I am right. It's a band from Luton, which is a town just north of London, about 20 miles north of London, but it has got one of London's airports. London's got four airports, and one of them is in Luton. So there you go, that's all I can tell you about Luton. And this is a band called Brian and the Brunels. And Brian and the Brunels have previously been known as the Hangmen, but they changed their name, I guess, kind of quite helpfully. And this is a single. Strangely enough, I've just been talking about the two Jackies, but this is a single called Jacqueline. It came out on HMV Records in 65, and this is the only thing they ever did, but it's really good. And I had a Brazilian pressing of it, which I sold because it was in a picture sleeve, and I'd got the English one anyhow, and I thought, well, I'll get some money for that. But I saw Brian and the Brunels, Jacqueline, Brazilian copy. But anyhow, this is Brian and the Brunels and Jacqueline. Yes. No, it's not. I'm playing the wrong track. Brilliant. One of the things that I try not to do, but I do. So this is Jacqueline. Yes.
Jacqueline, where have you been? What you doing out this late at night? Jacqueline, I have seen that you don't know how to treat me right. You said you had a stay at home, but you have deceived. Tell me no more lies, cause you won't be believed. Jacqueline, where have you been? What you doing out this late at night? So, if you're gonna keep on playing this game, our loving will never ever be the same. Jacqueline, where have you been? What you doing out this late at night? So mean, and you don't know how to treat me right. You said you had a stay at home, but you have deceived. Tell me no more lies, cause you won't be believed. Jacqueline, where have you been? What you doing at this late at night? Jacqueline, where have you been? What you doing at this late at night?
Thank you.
that's great. That is, that's the Baroques and a track called Iowa, A Girl's Name. So there you go. Came out on Chess Records in 1967. And they were from Milwaukee, and they were signed by Chess because Chess at the time felt they weren't getting enough of the kind of new psychedelic stuff. It was all, you know, blues, jazz, R&B and stuff. And they wanted to branch out into, you know, more psychedelic territories. And they did this one really great album, and they were ready to do the next one, but the guy who'd signed them, who was the guy who really wanted you know, more kind of psychedelia on Chess, had moved on, and the rest of the Chess label people just said, nah, don't want to go in that direction at all. And they didn't record another album, which is a real shame, because it is, they just went on and did one more single called I Will Not Touch You, which goes for extraordinary amounts of money now. I think I looked it up last night, and the cheapest one available is like £700, which is, you know, getting on for $1,000, you know, it's big money. But yeah, that's a great, great album, I've got to say. There was also a band called the Baroques from Belgium, from Holland, who were really good, and they did some nice stuff as well. But there you go. Before that, we had Brian and the Brunels from Luton doing Jacqueline, a single from 1965 on HMV. And now I'm going to play the track that I almost played instead of the Brian and the Brunels. And this is by a guy called Neil Christian, whose real name was Chris Tidmarsh. And Chris Tidmarsh came from Hoxton in London, which is right in the middle of the East End. Back then it was, you know, like, all right, mate, you know, how you doing? And he had a band, he'd been going for a long time, actually, started at the beginning of the 60s. And he had a band called The Crusaders. So it's Neil Christian and The Crusaders. And they had a bunch of great guitarists playing for them. At one stage they had Jimmy Page, then they had Richie Blackmore, and even more peculiarly later they had Mick Abrahams playing for them. But eventually he went solo, Neil Christian, and this is a single called I'm Gonna Love Ya Baby. Came out on Pi Records in 1967, and it's a bit of a floor filler, you know, if you're DJing it's a good one to play. So this is Neil Christian and not the Crusaders, doing I'm Gonna Love Ya Baby. You, baby,
thought how long since you were here. These dirty windows sit and stare. Baby, I heard our landlord at the door. I didn't answer. Why tell him I don't work no more since you gone? Why cry anymore? I don't care if I go. Each minute brings me farther down. With all her precious solitude and all the men she drives insane when they leave you. Honey, that's not what I want from you. But what am I to do?
Despair.
Wow, what a brilliant track. That's Mad River and Leave Me Stay from their second album, Paradise Bar and Grill, which I have to say isn't as good as their first album, which is just called Mad River, but it's still really good. It's got that on it, so it has to be good. That came out on Capitol Records in 1969. And Mad River were from Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio, but they relocated to Berkeley, California, where they became a kind of pretty popular band in the San Francisco Bay region, and did two albums before going their separate ways. The front man, Lawrence Hammond, went and did some really kind of psychedelic country albums, one called Coyote's Dream that's great, and there's another one, Presumed Lost, I think the second one called, which was going to be an album and never came out, but was released, you know, maybe 20 years ago instead. They were brilliant. I love Mad River. I just think they're fantastic. So what was before that? Was it Neil Christian? Yeah, it was Neil Christian doing I'm Gonna Love Your Baby. And yeah, another great single, as I said, came out on Pi in 1967. And I'm going to end today, because it's time for me to go, with a single by Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch, who are a real pop band, but they could do good stuff if they wanted to. And indeed, frequently, their B-sides are all worth listening to. So I'm going to end today with a track from 1967 called He's a Raver. It came out on Fontana, and Dave D and co were from Salisbury in the west of England, and Dave D himself had been a policeman and attended the crash that killed Eddie Cochran. So there you go. Happy New Year. I hope you have a great time. This is Dave D and Doozy Beaky Mick and Titch doing He's a Raver. See you next year. Bye. It's coming.